Well, Merry Christmas. Thank you for making your way to this part of a family to gather together to worship Jesus who came to save us from our sins. I'm sure many of you have already gathered this morning, maybe around your tree, maybe you've opened presents. How many of you have already opened some presents this morning or last night? A lot, yeah. And some of you who are at home, maybe sitting around the tree with presents opened right around you right now, we're glad that you can join us live streaming as well. Christmas is a time for gifts, and obviously we are here to celebrate the greatest gift of all, Jesus. Growing up, Christmas was very different for me. It was not a cold, snowy day. It was a hot, dry day. In Uganda, where Inel and I served, we didn't have anywhere that we could go to buy any Christmas gifts. There was not a single store within 12 hours of our town that had a toy in it. So we would always make something. It was my plan every Christmas to build one toy for each child. And I would try to surprise them. Now, I couldn't always. One Christmas, I made a treehouse behind the house. Obviously, I couldn't surprise them, but they weren't allowed to climb into that treehouse until Christmas Day. One Christmas, I made a slide out of metal roofing sheets, and I tied a big red ribbon bow around it, and that was their surprise on Christmas Day. One year, I took quite a bit of time trying to make a candy dispenser. I took a glass jar with its lid, put it upside down on a block of wood, dug a hole through that wood that I could slide a little piece of wood in so that you could fill the jar with a candy. There was a certain candy we could get from Britain once in a while when we were in the capital city. It's sort of shaped like an M&M. You'd fill the jar with candy, tip it upside down, screw it on that block of wood, push that little piece of wood in, and one or two candies would drop in. You could pull it out, and it was a little candy dispenser, you know, and took me a long time. The kids were not impressed that you only got one or two candies at a shot. Sometimes the greatest gifts are the simple ones. But I remember the first Christmas that we celebrated with our children here in the United States. Our children were, one was a toddler, one was like in first grade. And we were up north at my parents' house. They had not had a Christmas in America before, and they were stunned. I will never forget their faces when they came down from the upstairs bedroom, walked into the room where the Christmas tree was, and the floor was just covered with presents, piled upon presents, spilling out all across the carpet. And I remember one of my boys standing there with his jaw wide open, and he looked at me and he said, "I've got an idea. Let's always live in Uganda, but have Christmas in America." I mean, you know, go from one present to them spilling all over the floor was amazing. But there's one present my kids will never forget. It's the simplest gift I ever made for them. In fact, I made one on Thursday this week to show you. It was this little stick with wheels on it. I gave this to them one year. Carved a little handle at one end, and they pushed this thing around, not for weeks, not for months, for years. They pushed it all over the house, all over our yard. I have no idea why a simple gift like this would be their favorite gift. Now, in their 30s, they still talk about this gift. It's the only one that they have not forgotten that they ever got. Sometimes the beauty of a gift is in its simplicity. But sometimes when simplicity comes with an incalculable cost, we can't get our heads around it. And that's the gift that our Father in heaven gave us that we're celebrating today. The simplicity of a little tiny baby wrapped in pieces of cloth so he couldn't even move his arms or his legs, swaddled up, lying in a feeding trough meant for animals. So simple. In fact, more simple than most of the other children born in Bethlehem that year. because most of them were not lying in a manger where the animals had been feeding just a few hours before. And yet the cost? Absolutely incalculable. The cost of a Father in heaven, the Creator, as we sang, sending His Son, the one who created now robing Himself in that flesh. So simple, and yet priceless. That child was the shepherd of Israel, promised long ago. But he would come in simplicity because he was going to come to a town so small that it would not be found on any registered map in Israel. He would be laid in a manger that no other child would dare be laid in even that simple town that night. He would come to a family that was so unknown and so poor that even their relatives in Bethlehem, and they had lots of relatives in Bethlehem that night who were from the same ancestry, none of those relatives invited them to stay. He came in simplicity because he came to the least of these. He came as the shepherd of Israel to the shepherds in Israel. In fact, it was the only shepherds that heard that night the message from the angels. The shepherd of Israel coming to shepherds. I'd like to read one of my favorite prophecies. You heard it already this morning as the wrists read it to us from Matthew chapter 5. This is what even the people, the scribes, read to Herod when he wanted to find out where the Messiah would be born. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me," this is God the Father speaking, "one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from the Ancient of Days, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord." He will come and shepherd his flock, the shepherd of Israel. We hear of that shepherd being longed for by the people of Israel in the psalm that we already heard as the candle was lit this morning. Psalm 80, verse 1, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel," the people crying out to God to answer their cry for mercy. "You who lead Joseph like a flock, who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come save us." The shepherd of Israel was seen to be the Savior, the strong one of Israel. "Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved." And the shepherd of Israel came that night to the shepherds in Israel. Why to the shepherds? Well, he comes to the shepherds because they were the least of these. He comes in simplicity. By the time Jesus was born, shepherding was no longer a highly valued, highly regarded occupation. It was the least of these. The shepherds rarely had an opportunity to bathe. The shepherds were not able to stay in their warm houses on a regular basis. While everyone else was in the town, they were outside of the walls of the town. They were out there in the rain or the cold or whatever the elements were of that day or that night. It was the shepherds who were the bottom of the economic pile. And it's to the shepherds that the shepherd was announced. He loves to come to the least of these. He comes as the shepherd of Israel. I love the description in Psalm 80, verse 1. "You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth." This one who arrived that night, think of that. The one who arrived that night left a throne, that was upon the cherubim. That is a picture of what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1, where he sees a chariot with flames of fire rotating and rotating, and then he realizes there are eyes in there, and he sees this brilliance above the chariot, and then he suddenly understands that all that chariot is a throne of angels, and above that throne is this brilliant golden light that he can't even look at. That is the throne on which Jesus sat. He was that light. And where did he come? From that throne to a manger laid in the straw. Talk about humbling himself. He shines in light. Psalm 80 says, and he came in the darkness of night. We know it was night because the shepherds were out at night watching their flocks. The angels couldn't hold back their excitement. The angels had to scream and shout and declare how amazing this was, because suddenly the night is pierced with the light. And yet, as John tells us in John chapter 1, even though he was the light and he shone into the darkness did not understand, did not comprehend. The simplest of gifts with a priceless value. From his throne to a manger, the one who is light comes into a very, very dark space on a dark night outside of this little town of Bethlehem. Micah talks about that little town, and he describes so clearly. He says, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "You, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah." Bethlehem would not have been known to anyone because it was not registered as a town. You see, to be registered as a town in the Israelite nation, you had to have 1,000 heads of households. Bethlehem did not have 1,000 heads of households. It was too small. The only reason it was known is because that's the town from which David had come. And so Jesus comes not only as a shepherd of Israel to shepherds who are the bottom of the economic pile and the social pile, but Jesus comes to a town that wouldn't even have been found on the map. Maybe a GPS would have gotten lost looking for it. "And from you shall come forth," Yahweh says, "for me, one who is to be ruler." Ruler in Israel. That word ruler that the Spirit of God chose to give to Micah there is a Hebrew word that means one that comes with tremendous power and authority. It's not just any ruler. He chooses a specific Hebrew word to say this is one who is going to have amazing power like no king in Israel has ever had, and he comes specifically to save. Whose coming forth is from of old, or some of our translations say whose origins are from of old. He didn't have an origin. He didn't have a beginning, because we know that from the beginning he always was. In the beginning was the Word. It doesn't mean his origins is in the sense that he began at one point. That's why most translations now say whose coming forth was from of old. The Hebrew there literally means the one who changed his place of habitation from a throne, a golden throne, that is mobile because it's on cherubim that move everywhere, filled with eyes of fire because he can see everything. He changed his habitation to a simple little village too small to be on any registered map. But he's the most powerful ruler to ever come into the land of Israel. He's coming from the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is Daniel chapter 7, the one who's seated upon the throne to whom the Son of Man is presented and who snuffs out the Antichrist with just a simple command, and the Antichrist is finished, done, forever. But the Ancient of Days is also the one who always has been, and that is Jesus, with no beginning and no end, from before the beginning and after what we would call the end. And then verse 4 of Micah 5 says, "And he shall stand and shepherd his flock." You see, the shepherd of Israel comes to shepherds, and the greatest comes to the very least, to the smallest city, to the smallest place, from a throne to the smallest bed he could have. And then the shepherd stands, and everyone else is told to sit. Listen to what Micah says. "He shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure." That phrase, "dwell secure," comes from the word that means sit down and stay there. That's what it comes from. "He shall stand and shepherd, but they shall dwell secure. They shall sit down in the security that he gives them. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." Like many of us on Christmas morning, especially a cold Christmas morning like we have today, some of us that are online right now may be right now wrapped up in a nice blanket near a fire, just keeping warm. That's the picture of what we do in the security of who Jesus is. He stands. He stands guard. He's going to lead us. He's going to take care of us. And all we are called to do is to dwell securely, to sit down in his security and find in him our peace. What an amazing picture. Last night we were talking about him being an everlasting Father, the one that we can run to and always feel safe in, and he will always be there. This one who left his throne to come to a manger, who left heaven to come to the smallest town in Israel that is so small it's not on a map. This one stands as shepherd to lead us, and we are told to sit down securely in his safety. I love that picture. But as I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking, you know, it's awful hard for me just to sit and stay in the security that Jesus gives. Maybe you're not like me, but I want to make my own way. I want to figure out what is best for me. I want to make my plans. I want to be independent. It scares me sometimes to think that all I am called to do is to let go of all of my independence, let go of all of my freedoms that I claim I have as a free American individual, to let go, because when I sit down in the security of my shepherd is standing to lead me. He's going to feed me what I need. He's going to take me where I need to go. As David says, it may be to green pastures. It may be to some very still, cool, calm waters. And at times he may lead me through the valley of the shadow of death. But wherever he leads me, he has promised to be with me, and he has promised as long as I stay in the security and rest in the comfort that he is my shepherd, and he's the one who stands, not me. He's the one who leads, not me. Then I will have peace. You know, so often the reason we lose peace is because we're all about figuring out our own way. We're all about figuring out what I'm going to do with my life and where I'm going to be. In fact, next week, you know, we finish Christmas today, and what do we start doing? We start planning for the next year. Next Sunday will be New Year's Day, and on New Year's Day, many of us are going to have some new commitments, some new resolutions. I'm not saying that's bad, but as believers in Jesus, what Micah tells us is when our shepherd stands to lead us, our response is to sit down securely in his embrace and let him lead. And sometimes he leads places that are so refreshing, it takes our breath away. The grass is so green. The flowers are so beautiful. The water is so sweet and fresh. We just cannot get enough of it. And sometimes he leads us in some very dark paths. But it's always for his name's sake, because he's the shepherd. And the place that is most secure is wherever he takes us. So our encouragement from Micah's prophecy to us today is that this shepherd, who is the greatest of all, came as the simplest he could possibly come. Not just as any babe, but as a babe in a town so small that it can't be registered, leaving a throne that is so glorious Ezekiel would not be able to look at it. He falls on his face at the end of chapter 1 as if he's a dead man, and Jesus leaves that throne and is allowed by Mary to be laid in a manger where animals have been eating just a few hours before. Simplicity that is priceless. A gift we can never forget. The greatest coming to the least. But he's the shepherd of Israel. And when the shepherd stands, we are all called to sit securely in his embrace. Can I encourage you this year? Make a commitment, a New Year's resolution, that I'm going to sit securely and let my shepherd lead me wherever he takes me, because he will be with me. He will never, ever leave me. So we go back to Psalm 80, where the Israelites are begging for the shepherd to come and lead them and to save them. And Micah says, he will be their peace. When Micah wrote this, when he spoke these words, Israel was facing two great powers, one to the north, one to the east, both of these powers threatening Israel. And Micah says, your shepherd's going to come to the most unexpected place, but when he stands, sit down and let him lead. You will find in him your absolute peace. And that's why we have joy. That's why on Christmas morning, we can stop whatever we're doing, unwrapping our presents, having our breakfast. Some of us make it here to this room and worship. Why? Because he is our shepherd, and he has come to us. None of us in this room deserve him or expected him, just like the people in Bethlehem. But the greatest comes to the least. So as he stands to lead you this year, can I encourage you to dwell securely, or, as the origin of that word means, sit safely while he leads you. Let him wrap you in his warm embrace. Let him be your peace. And as the angels said their first words to the shepherds, and Jesus repeated words to his disciples, do not be afraid. No matter what comes, do not be afraid, because our shepherd is standing and we can sit secure. Lord Jesus, we bow before you, so grateful that you came to us. In some ways, the simplest gift we could ever imagine, and yet with incalculable value, incalculable worth, absolutely priceless. You are the shepherd of Israel. You came to shepherds who no one else had any time for. You are the greatest, and you came to the very least. And as our shepherd, we want to sit down in your presence and experience your peace as you stand and lead us and help us to dwell in safety. So we celebrate you today. And as we sing about the joy you bring, I just pray that as we all go to our homes and fellowship together with those we love and eat a good meal, whatever else we have left for us today, help us to just soak in the wonder that the shepherd of Israel is standing right now to lead us, to feed us, to protect us. And he invites us to sit securely in his loving care. Because of that, we have joy. and we have peace. And we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.